Oklahoma. I'm filling in for Assad today as he is with his family in Australia and doing some vacation, but also he was believing for some opportunities to minister there, especially to his family and to others. And so we'll just lift him up in prayer. As Assad likes to say, this is the way he likes to begin the week, and welcome everyone who's calling in. Again, my name is Jeff Jackson. I've been a teacher, pastor for 37 years. I work with a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Pastor Bob Yandian. And maybe some of you have heard or listened to some of his materials. But my purpose, my call is teaching ministers. I'm involved in some work in China presently, going there about three times a year to teach pastors. And it's a tremendous opportunity that God has given to impact a nation by teaching their pastors how to study the Bible. And that's a call that God has put upon my life. I want to take these next 4 weeks, and we're going to be looking at some things to really help you, to help us build our faith, to draw our attention back to trusting God and trusting in His promises. It's always good that we set aside a time in our life to pursue the things of God. And I just welcome all of you that are calling in. Maybe there's some new people calling in today. Maybe you are a frequent caller, listener on these phone conferences. And so it's just a good opportunity to focus our hearts, our minds on the things of God so that we are prepared for all the things that God has in store for us this week. So let's get started with our lesson. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn in Numbers to chapter 13, the book of Numbers, chapter 13. We're going to study a man named Caleb. Maybe some of you have heard of Caleb before. You have maybe heard of some of the things that he has done, and Caleb's faith is well known, recognized. But we're going to draw several things concerning Caleb. I'm looking at this series, I'm calling it Conquering Giants. Because there's things in our life that look too big for us to deal with. And if we consult other people, maybe consult family, consult others, they will tell us, no, there's no way that you can deal with that problem. It might be a financial issue. It might be a health issue. It might be sickness, disease. It could be something with your family. It could be even with your business. Maybe starting a new business. I got a friend named Paul who he's gone 3 weeks working with a company that he's been with for several years. He's not received the last three paychecks. He's been diligent to do the work, but they're not diligent in doing the payments. And so he's launching out even this week to start a new business and just praying for him. Maybe some of you, that's your situation. You maybe just started in a new work, or you're desiring, or maybe you're thinking about starting a new work. And there are plenty of people that will talk us out of it. There are people who will just say, yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, go ahead. But they're not really believing in you. And Caleb is just a perfect example of someone who it didn't matter what other people believed. He believed a promise that God had made. That God told him that he would prosper them, that he told the nation he would take them into the land, and that God had told them that this land was good and it would flow with all kind of abundant blessing, and that the land would be theirs. And he brought them out of Egypt. So this is during the time after Israel has been redeemed from Egypt in the book of Exodus, and they came out with that great Passover, then they came through the Red Sea, and then God sustained them in the wilderness by the water, by supernatural supply of manna, by giving them quail and the sustenance that they needed. And they have been in the desert for about 1 year. And they came out, and they were supposed to be in the promised land by the next Passover. That was God's purpose. That was his plan. And so taking them about a year, they built the tabernacle while they were in the wilderness. They received the law. They had all these other things, but God was with them. His pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. He had led them and protected them. Joshua has been Moses' assistant, and he stepped forward as a military commander. And in the future, he will be the one who will lead them in. But as they come now to this valley, just south of what we know of as the Promised Land, a place called Kadesh Barnea, they were to send spies in. God told them there in Numbers chapter 13 to send in the spies to see the land. And so Moses gave them the directions, and he chose one man for each of the tribes. And out of the tribe of Judah, he chose a man named Caleb. Interesting thing concerning Caleb is that he was not even an Israelite. He was related to Moses' father-in-law. He was a Kenite, came out of the desert region of the Sinai. And during all the years, the 40 years that Moses had been a shepherd on the backside of the desert, and during those 40 years, he had married a woman, and she was from the tribe of the nation of Midian, actually, Kenites. And so here is this young man, Caleb, who wasn't really even an Israeli, had not been descended from Jacob's line, which was all the 12 tribes. And yet, he is chosen. Now, we're not given any reason, any more than the reason he chose any the other 11. Now, we know, of course, Joshua was chosen. That's true. And he's been Moses' right-hand man since just after the time that they came out of Egypt. And so over a year, he's been faithful. He's led Israel in battles. He's proved his faith. He's proved his worth. He's a good leader. Why Caleb? God told him. God told Moses, choose Caleb. There was something about this person that God was looking at, and there was something that that God wanted him to see. Now, in Numbers chapter 13, we find this account. They went into the land, all the 12 spies, and they were to spend 40 days there. And at the end of the 40 days, they came back out of the land, and they were called before Moses to give a report. And so they gave this report, and the report is that the land is exceedingly good. That this is a great land, and it flows with all manner of abundance and blessing. And so Caleb gets up before the people, and he tells them this report. Joshua gives his report. And then what we find is each one of the 10 men gives a report. We'll back that up here in just a little bit with a verse of scripture. But each one of the 10 gives their report. And in their report, they say, yes, it's a great land. There's great abundance. There's all manner of blessing there. But it's great cities, walled cities. The people are great. Their armies there. They have lots of warriors. And there's abundance and there's good things. But boy, this is a bad land. And then besides all of that, there are these giants. We saw the descendants of the giants. Now, we don't know where these giants came from. There was an issue back in the book of Genesis chapter 6 about some cohabitation of the angels with men and producing a race of giants. Were these left over from that? Were these genetically mutated people who were just gigantic? Is Goliath descended from these? There's all kinds of questions that follow, but the issue is these were giants, and when they saw them, they saw something that could not be taken. And their words really give them away. But they caused the people to panic. Now, granted, Caleb told the people, yes, there's abundance. And Caleb and Joshua both said, yes, there's abundance. There's great things. There's walled cities. There's great people. And they openly told the people, and yes, there's giants. But here's what I want you to look at. Look in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. And so when the people heard the word giants, they freaked out. And this is like, wow, this is something we can't deal with. There's no way we can deal with these giants. This is what it says. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, so he said, okay, everybody calm down. Listen to this. Listen. He quieted the people. They're like, you got an audience here of about a million people. And he quiets the people and he says, now listen to me. Let us go up at once. No delay. No stopping. No, let's meditate on this. Let's prepare ourselves. No, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Three things he says. Let us go. Let us occupy it. We are able to overcome. In other words, we need to go right now. We need to take it to this situation. We need to face, confront these giants, this situation. We need to go. We need to occupy. And we are able to overcome. No doubt in his mind. No question. No hesitation. He just wants to go, and he wants to go now. We've been a year in this wilderness. This is what God brought us out of Egypt to bring us into the promised land. He didn't bring us out of Egypt to wander in the wilderness. Let's take it. And this can be like any great thing that is before you, something that God has promised, something that God has laid before us that is ours, an opportunity, strength, peace, hope, solidarity in our family, peace for our life. It could be a blessing for our business, provision. It could be health for our bodies, overcoming of sickness, disease, any one of these things. But these are things that God has promised that he would give us. And in his promise, he wants us to trust him. And we don't know how Caleb developed this faith, where it came from. What was it that was in him that said, you know, we can do this. We can do this. He saw the issue and he said, we can do it. However, there's the others. The 10 spoke up and they said, no, we are not. We are not able to go against these people, for they are stronger than we. You know, there's nothing wrong with recognizing that your problem is big, that the thing that's laid before you is great, that the sickness or disease is well known as a great enemy of mankind, that there's little natural hope for things. There's nothing wrong with recognizing that in natural hope, we've got no hope. But you see, we've got a promise from God. This land, God said, I am giving it to you. Go possess it. Caleb said, all right, let's do it. Now listen what the spies say. They go on in verses 32 and 33. The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. Really? The land eats the people up? Is that true? The land just kind of swallows people? Do you know, sometimes in our mind, we are prone to exaggerate. We can exaggerate our good things, you know, the fish story type thing. We can also exaggerate our problems. And they made more of this than what it was. And notice what they said. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. Really? All of the people? No. There was one family and they lived in one place. There were maybe two or three towns of these people, but that was it. Not all the people were of great height. And then they went on and they said, and we saw there the Nephilim, the sons of Anak. And we seemed to ourselves, there it is, we seemed to ourselves, or as the King James says, and we were as grasshoppers in their sight. We seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, looking through their eyes. Well, you can't look through their eyes. You don't know what was in their minds. He said, but looking through their eyes, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and that's how we are. You know, if you see yourself as not able, if you see yourself as already defeated, if you look at the situations before you and say, you know, there's no hope in this, you're already seeing yourself as defeated, then you're looking through the wrong end. One man said, you know, do we want to Do we want to look at ourselves through a microscope and make ourselves smaller? Or do we want to look through a telescope and make ourselves bigger? Because who's really the big person here? God is. Caleb and Joshua's faith was what God had promised. They said, let us go up. That's what the scouts had done initially. They went in, they saw the land, they came back. Now let's go. We will possess it. Why did they say we possess it? Because God had promised it to them. I'm not going to take you to all the verses, but over and over again, God promised to give them the land. He promised to give them the land. He promised that he would make this land great, that he would give them all of this. So he said, we will possess it because that's what God promised. And we are certainly capable because that's God's power. God had told them that when you go to war, I will go with you to fight for you. You go to war, I'll go with you to fight for you. We're going to talk more about that. That's out of Deuteronomy chapter 20. We'll talk more about that in one of our coming sessions here. But this was the promise of God. And Caleb's confidence is in what God promised. The spies' confidence is in what they see themselves to be through the eyes of the giants. And we're going to show you that that itself was a lie. And so here's the thing that we're facing with all of this. Joshua was ready to go. In Numbers chapter 14, we can turn over to Numbers 14. And in Numbers chapter 14, the story continues as the people have mounted mass rebellion. We could talk about the discouragement because the report of the 10 spies caused all of the people to doubt. It's amazing how negativism wins over positivism. How a lack of trust and faith in God, pessimism, continuously overcomes optimism. In fact, the people that are optimistic, we often make fun of. Maybe you found yourself that way. As you've trusted to launch out into something, or you're trusting in God for this or that thing, you know, you can trust in God for your family, and people will say, well, you know, I tried praying for my family and it didn't work. Maybe it's disease, you know, well, the doctors couldn't even treat it. I know other people who've believed. You know, there's a lot of businesses failing right now. Why in the world would you want to start your own business? You see, where pessimism consistently is the enemy of optimism, and more people will go with the pessimistic side than with the optimistic. In fact, look at this statement in chapter 6. Or in chapter 14, sorry. In chapter 14, listen to what the people say. Then all the congregation, I'm in verse 10. Then all the congregation said to stone them. Stone Joshua and Caleb. Let's kill them. Let's kill them. Because their optimism. Wow, we got to get rid of these optimistic people. We got to get rid of these people who are trusting and believing. Why? Because it indicts their own lack of faith. It challenges the fact that they can't believe God. Listen to what God said about this land. And this is how he gave the report. Going back to Numbers 14, go back to verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation, the land which we passed through to spy it out is exceedingly good. Now, the Hebrew of that verse is very prominent because the Hebrew says the land is good, exceedingly, exceedingly, repeats the word. It's good, exceedingly, not just good, exceedingly, exceedingly good. Well, this is everything that God promised. This is all that God said he would give. Look at what God's faithfulness is giving to us. We were slaves for hundreds of years. He delivered us. He brought us through Red Sea, provided for us in the wilderness. He brought us to this place to give us this land. And it is so great. All we have to do is possess it. And he promised we would, and he'll give us his power. So let's go. by his power and with his promise, we can do this thing. But they would not. Now, this taking the promised land is many places in Scripture. It's likened to what God promised us through Jesus Christ. You know, when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, you got a new life. All your sins forgiven. You're recreated in God's image and likeness, and you're brought into a place of eternal hope and peace. That's God's promise. That you'll be with Him forever. Now, those are all spiritual things, but you know what? God has also given us natural things to accomplish or to accompany these spiritual things. Ephesians chapter 1, just write this reference down. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father." Ephesians 1, 3. "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So everything we have for our spiritual life and our eternal future has been provided for Christ. But now let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Romans 8, 31 and 32. Paul says, "Concerning all the troubles of this world and the pressures of this world, what do we say to these things?" What do we say about the natural problems? The giants. What do we say to these giants? If God is for us, who can be against us? What giant? Poverty, oppression, fear, sickness, disease. What giant can stand against us? These aren't giants against our spiritual life. These are giants against our natural life. Listen how Paul continues, verse 32. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all." That's for your eternal salvation. That's for your life. If you never believed in Jesus Christ, this is the greatest day of your life because you have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ today, the forgiveness of your sins and the promise of eternal life. Why? Because he gave up his own son. But listen to what else he says. "How will he not," verse 32, Romans 8, 32, "how will he not also with him, along with Christ," when you got Christ, "graciously give us all things?" You get all of it. You know, I've been privileged to, my trips to China, build up some air miles. One of my trips over, one of my friends gave me her American Air Mile upgrade to business class. I want you to know that a 16-hour flight is much more comfortable in business class. And when you get that, then you don't have to pay extra for the better blanket. You're not paying for the extra meal. You get real tableware, all kinds of, benefits. You take a cruise. You don't just get a tiny room on the boat. You get all that food that comes along with it. I think that's why a lot of people love cruises. Why? Because it's all in the ticket price. The greatest thing God gave us is his son, Jesus Christ. And along with Christ, notice that phrase, along with him, he's given us all things. How shall he not graciously give us all things? All these natural promises, because that's the subject of Paul's teaching here in Romans chapter 8. All these natural things. What do we say against them? Famine, pestilence, war. All these things that come against our peace, against our hope, against our provision, against our prosperity, against our health. What do we say to those things? If God be for me, he gave me his son, how can these things come against me because he's also given me all things? That's where Caleb's faith was. Caleb said, you know what? We can do this. We can take this land. We have this promise. Caleb was not moved by the great difficulty that was before him. He was not moved by the things that stood in his way. He was ready to take the hill of the giants. And you know what? He's going to spend the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness with the rest of Israel. Joshua and Caleb spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness, not discouraged, not bitter, not angry. We're going to talk about that in our next session. next Monday I'll be continuing with this story on Caleb, and we're going to look at what in the world was he focused on during all those 40 years? Why couldn't Joshua and Caleb just go into the land? No, they had to wait 40 years, just like all the other people, till that generation died. And their children would go in and inherit the land. But see, there's something about Caleb. There's something about him that is different. And it says that Caleb had a different spirit. Caleb was of a different class. He was a different way. We're going to see how he was one who was fulfilling the promise that God had made, and that he had trusted and believed in God, even though all the rest did not. So we're going to talk more about that next week. What do you do while you're waiting for the promise to take the giants? I trust this has been a blessing to you, an encouragement. Maybe you're going through some great things, or maybe this is a preparation for something that's going to come against you in days to come, some opportunity you're going to have. And like I said, there's a lot of people that will talk us out of it. There's a lot of people that want us to think we can't have these things. There are more people pessimistic than there are optimistic. And when you share your hopes and your promises, many times people try to talk you out of it. Keep your faith in God. I want to conclude our session today just by asking, maybe you've been listening today and maybe you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Maybe you've never accepted him as Savior. That's the first thing. If God gave us his Son, God who offered up his Son for us, he paid the price for your sin, my sin, for we were all guilty before God. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise. Through Jesus Christ, if you've never believed to receive Jesus as Savior, today is the day to do that. Today. Believe, trust, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And not only will you have the promise of eternal life, you'll also receive God's blessings on the things he wants you to have in this life. He said he'd provide for all your needs. He said he would heal your body. He said he would bring you peace. He said he would help you overcome great trials and afflictions in this life and the great promise of eternal life to come. If you've never accepted Christ, would you do that right now? I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. And if you will agree with me, then God will bring you that promise of eternal life. Before I pray, just let me mention, if you like the notes on this, you can write to me. My email address is gwjacks50@gmail.com. That's gwjacks50@gmail.com. What I'll do is I'll send you an invitation to a Dropbox folder, and this lesson, along with other lessons, I've got it recorded, and I'll put some notes in there. I'll send you the notes, and you can read this, listen to this lesson and some other ones that are in this folder, just as a blessing and a way of encouraging you in your life. Now let me pray. Father, I just thank you that that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ, and the greatest giant of all has been conquered through Jesus' death on the cross, our sin. And you have brought us into your kingdom, and you promised that you would forgive our sins, you would restore us, you would make us whole, make us new, recreate us in your image and likeness. And I thank you, Father, for those who are listening today that say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that God raised him from the dead. And I believe that you are my Savior. Now, Father, I thank you that you will save and sanctify your people. And Father, for all of us, thank you for the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. Thank you for that promise of life that is ours. Father, lead these, my brothers and sisters, Father, lead them in this week into ways of peace, ways of blessing, restore their health, Father, bring them the prosperity, the provision that they desire. Father, show us your goodness. And we thank you for all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We'll be back next Monday at 7:30. Continue to pray for Assad and his family and just lift them before God. And as you think about them, if you need to contact Assad, you want to write to him, maybe you've just accepted Christ as your Savior, you want some more information, he will get that to you. His email address is Assad, A-S-A-A-D, at PFS, no, I'm sorry, Assad PFS at AOL.com. So it's A-S-A-A-D P-F-S at AOL.com. And write to him. He's got a package of things if you've never accepted Christ before. If you don't belong to a church, find one. Get yourself into the Word. Study and believe. And I will talk to you again next week. Have a great week in the Lord. Amen.